right, so I need I need an engineer. I need a secretary. Would have had this mic on, you know, half an hour ago if I knew what I was doing. Anyway, welcome to North Shore Sports Night. I'm Rick Moore, along with Tim Kearns, our producer and engineer, Bill Proposca, director, of course, Bill Newell. And we are back on this Monday night. Coach is back here doing something on his phone.
I'm subbing tomorrow. I'm getting my directions from my former student. How's that?
No comment. Alrighty, so we have a pretty eclectic lineup, methinks. Now, that's a word I don't like. I don't like eclectic. I like ubiquitous. I don't like eclectic.
Well, there's nothing ubiquitous about this list.
Correct.
Oh, and I am really... Oh, Ian Coffey. I thought it was Jim Coffey.
Oh, okay.
But Jim's up in Falmouth.
Well, you should be excited to talk with Ian, too. He, great kid.
Yeah.
Super athlete. The Massachusetts High School Football Coaches Association named him one of the top 25 players in the state.
Yep.
And... you know, we talked with him a couple of years ago as a sophomore. Did I talk to him this year? I think I may have talked with him also during the football season. But Ian Coffey, captain and quarterback and defensive back, he got the accolades for being a defensive back for Hamilton Wenham.
Yeah, well, that's one of those situations where you have a kid who's extremely deserving of being on the team. And he plays multiple positions, and his main position, which most people would identify him as the quarterback, is kind of filled with guys who had probably even better stats than he did, but you want him on the team, so he's a defensive back.
You know? Yeah, Linfield has a representative, and, a quarterback, I believe, and Shane Aylward, of course, up in Tewksbury. There's so many great kids around here that we've talked about. But we're going to talk with Ian. And, God, the name escapes me. Anyway, we'll talk with Ian Coffey. Jeez, Linfield quarterback. His brother played hockey, great athlete as well, played quarterback. Oh, my goodness gracious.
Yeah.
Awful. You know, I'm going to have to, during the break, I'm going to have to go look it up because I just had it it's... it's just stupid, my memory. Anyway, so many guys on the list, and a number of players from the local area, but we're going to talk with Ian Coffey, Hamilton Wenham star athlete, also leading the basketball team. I believe they've won 8 or 9 in a row. We'll check with Ian about that. And also, he's a baseball player as well, so 3-sport athlete for Hamilton Wenham High School. We'll talk with Ian. We will also check in. A huge game coming up on Wednesday night, hockey game. You look back at the beginning of the season and the way it went, I didn't think that this would be a big one at all. Gloucester was at one point, I think, 0-2-2 or 0-3-2, something like that. Marblehead was off to a 4-0, 5-0, 6-0 start or something like that. But it's Marblehead at Gloucester on Wednesday night. And in the league, in the conference, Marblehead is unbeaten, but Gloucester has one loss. So this is a huge game, or huge game, as someone would say, on Wednesday night that we'll be broadcasting. In preparation for that, we're going to be talking with Gloucester head coach Derek Geary and Marblehead head coach Chris Wells. And it's going to be fun to get their take on it and see how they're looking at this game coming up on Wednesday. And then we'll do our usual check-in with Gary Larrabee. Now, Super Bowl yesterday, who am I? You get 3 guesses. Who am I? I'm not going anywhere.
Yeah, and I saw that commercial. was that a
he's a master.
Was that a subtle hint of what his intentions are? Now, of course, it could be construed as I'm not going anywhere, meaning I'm not retiring. It could also be construed as I'm not leaving New England. You know, so I don't pay a whole lot of attention to it. I mean, you listen to the radio stations, the newspapers.
Well, I don't go with that, but
the
commercial was awesome.
If he sniffles, and he's so deadpan in it,
yeah.
He gives nothing away.
I know.
You know, he was so professional doing that commercial. And just sit back, relax, reflect upon what he has done over the course of his career. In New England, he's taking it to 9 Super Bowls. He's won 6. How many times have you played for the opportunity to go to the Super Bowl? You know, out of those years, how many years has he not taken the team to the playoffs? I don't think, well, the first year he was on the team, he wasn't the quarterback. But, I mean, since he became the starter, how many times have they missed the playoffs?
There were two times. One was they were 9-7. They tied for first place, but they didn't make it because they didn't have the tiebreaker. Because
they lost to the Jets.
And the other time they were 11-5.
Yeah.
And didn't make it. And yeah. I think that's
it. And that was the year he was hurt.
Yeah.
And that was the year he was hurt. So you look, you take into consideration that in 08 when he did not, he played all of what, one quarter of the first game? You don't count that year. So of all of his seasons, he has missed the playoffs one time.
NBC Sports Boston is reporting that Patriots for 1 year.
Yeah.
And sort of a guarantee that they will come in, you know, bring the talent into, which I guess is a bargaining point, which it ought to be, on the one hand. But then on the other hand, you know, how do you do that if you're going to pay him $30 million? And he probably, my guess, you know, he wants to play, he keeps saying he wants to play at least 45. So it would seem that he'd want a 3-year contract. But we'll see. I'm not making any speculation. I just absolutely, the other commercial, I gotta get to slide this in, Coach, before we go to the interview. The commercial for Hyundai with John Krasinski and the Saturday Night Live crew.
I didn't see that.
Chris Pratt. Oh my God! It was.
Oh, the Boston
Big
one.
And Big Poppy.
Oh, the Boston.
Yeah, I didn't know about that. Your bigness.
I didn't know he lived up there.
And there's Jack Ryan, the guy playing Jack Ryan. You got to be kidding me! Yeah. I didn't know he was from Boston too.
Yeah, that was good, but
wicked smart.
But the Boston accent was so over.
Oh, but that's the funny part
of
it.
Was so over the top.
The rest of the country doesn't know that.
And they all think that's a normal. Yeah, everybody in New York is going, nobody talks like
right,
that.
Right, exactly. But it was funny to see these actors, you know, hamming up and do it on purpose. I mean, have you ever seen Jack Ryan, the TV show on Jack? Yeah. Yeah, well, you know, to see this guy do that, it just cracks me up. Okay, so you had one more thought on Brady, I believe, when I interrupted you.
I was just going to say, you know, just sit back, relax. You're going to find out what happens in, what was it, March 18th when he becomes a free agent, or at least the week or two beforehand. You know, does he settle with the Pats before so he doesn't have to go into it? You know, does he want to say, yeah, I went into free agency? He could be there 20 minutes and then put his signature on a contract. And why not pay him for 1 year and then say, okay, Tom, listen, we'll revisit this next year. Because it would probably, you know, unless, you know, he signs for $30 million for 1 year, and they just simply say, okay, we'll pay you $3 million for the 1 year, but we're going to give you $10 million up front, then we'll give you 10, and then we'll give you 10. So there are creative ways that they finance these things that can minimize the overall cap hit, because they are going to have to sign some big talent. Like, once again, he's loaded with draft picks, and he's going to have to, you know, hit right on one. And when another thing that came up about this season, everybody said, well, Harry sucked. Well, he got hurt in preseason. He had no preseason. He came back after the second half of the season and started. So his season as such was a preseason, and he made some unbelievable catches, which is why Belichick took the kid, because his ability to make those kind of crazy catches that we saw him make occasionally, but learning this offense and getting in sync with Brady takes you an offseason. And if Tom's not there for all the preseason workouts, that puts all those rookie behinds too, because he's gonna knock that crap off and get back into camp.
Okay, Coach. All righty, and the big news to me with Dante Scarnecchia retiring, that breaks my heart.
That's going to hurt
Hall of Famer.
Everybody thinks.
Hall of Famer, if there ever was one. What a great, great act. Okay, we'll come back and check in with North Shore Sports Night on this Monday evening. Glad you're with us.
Harrington Trophy has been rewarding the North Shore for over 30 years with quality custom awards, screen printing, embroidery, and more. We pride our family-owned business on our exceptional customer service and quality products for the right price. Custom t-shirts, sweatshirts, warm-up suits, hats, along with the area's top trophies, plaques, glass awards, we are the one-stop shop for end-of-the-year banquets or advertising your small business through apparel. Come see us at Harrington Trophy, Chestnut Street, Lynn, or harringtontrophy.com.
Enjoy the taste of summer all year round at Cherry Farm Creamery. Pick up an ice cream cake for that special occasion. Cherry Farm Creamery offers the best ice cream right off Route 128 on Conant Street in Danvers. Or visit them at cherryfarmcreamery.com. Catch the big names in North Shore news and sports on MSO News Sports Podcasts, the North Shore's podcast leader for both news and sports features. Connecting you to the North Shore.
All right, we're back now with Gloucester High School hockey coach Derek Geary. And, Coach, welcome back to MSO.
Thank you so much for having me. Pleasure.
Coach, I was just telling Tim here before we called you that going back at the beginning of the season, say first four or five games, you guys were struggling to get a win. Of course, you're playing outside of the league for the most part. Marblehead was sailing along. They beat you guys twice in very close games. And back then, I'm looking at this game toward the end of the season, Marblehead coming to Gloucester, and I'm thinking, yeah, okay, that's not going to mean a whole lot. But here we are. Here we are.
Here we are.
So tell us about it.
Yeah. Well, it's exciting. I think it's the biggest regular season game in Gloucester in my time. So that's 3 years, right, and probably further back. So it is a testament to kind of the journey this team's been on, and I think made big improvements since the early days for sure. So yeah, we're happy about that.
Coach, what's the biggest improvement that you've seen in the team since those early games?
I don't know if I can pinpoint one thing. We made some adjustments, made a couple defensemen forward. Kind of re-sparked their games, and I think that the younger defensemen that we have, and they were pretty young back there, have improved. So if I had to say one thing, I'd say it's that our sophomore defensemen have really improved and enabled us to move a couple of key guys that have skills that we needed at forward to move up. I'm talking about Jeremy Abreu, who all of a sudden has 9 goals. And Harry Marshall, who's been a real presence since he came back into the lineup as well.
You know, throwing the youngsters into the fire against really tough competition early on, where it was out of conference, had to pay dividends for you.
I hope so, yeah. I mean, I think it's always good to get some humble pie. You know, these kids everybody tends to come in thinking they're, Connor McDavid and David Pasternak. And then all of a sudden you face Maskinamit and think, okay, I've got some work to do here. I think that's part of the scheme. And then if you run on a faster treadmill, you're forced to keep up with it, So we find our legs by teams that can really skate at the beginning of the year. I think that's kind of the intention.
I hate treadmills, Derek. You know, one of the things that I found fascinating on Wednesday night, last Wednesday night against Winthrop, a quality team. Winthrop is certainly a quality opponent. They're big and they're strong. But the power play unit you put out there with 5 forwards, I know you had kids who have had experience in defense, but 5 forwards out there, and you guys just kept it in the zone on almost every power play.
Yeah. I've been waiting. We've been waiting for a really dangerous power play for a couple of years. I mean, we've had Costanzo now for 2 years, so I mean, you have to have a dangerous power play with him on the ice, and we haven't been satisfied. And then we made a slight adjustment. We put him at the top in wall position. Traditionally, that's more of the quarterback when you have him over the wall, like where Marchand plays. But he's up top, and that's allowed Abreu to be I guess I won't get into too specific.
I'm not asking for secrets. Don't give any secrets away, Derek. Sorry.
Okay, that's right. It's live radio.
Well, the thing is, it did look pretty good, and I know that you've moved some guys around, and you mentioned changing guys around the line, which every team does. Marblehead has had to make an adjustment as well. Without Will Schell, they've had to move players around, and they've been pretty successful. They ran into a buzzsaw, I guess, yesterday, but that wasn't unexpected. But they've made changes too. So you guys, really sort of both teams are a little different from the last time you guys met.
Yeah. I've got lots of respect for Marblehead. I mean, they've beaten us twice, and they just find ways to win, I think they've got a lot of heart. From my vantage point, it kind of starts with number 28, Pearsall.
Yep.
He's just a player that's hard to contain out there. He's just a back-checking machine and seems like an incredible competitor. And I have to say, I've been very impressed with Marblehead's tenacity and competitiveness, which is, of course, a tribute to their coach.
Well, for sure, and they seem you know, year in and year out, they have certain qualities that are associated with them, just as Gloucester does, and Danvers does, and Winthrop does, and so on. And I know that is there a key to the game, Coach, that you can mention, sort of nondescript, something that might be obvious to you, but maybe not so obvious to the rest of us?
Well, I think Marblehead, as I say, they play with their heart in their sleeves, very physical, tough, never going to give up most of the goals from 2 feet out, you know. So that's the battle. Can our young defensemen handle number 28 in front of the net? Can our young defensemen win one-on-one battles? And they have. That's why we're in that position that you said is somewhat surprising. So I think we have to win those battles, and then I think we have to move the puck a lot quicker than we have to move the puck quicker. That's also been kind of a key to our hot streak here.
Mm-hmm.
We've been passing the puck a lot better than we were at the beginning of the year. So I'd say puck movement and toughness in front of the net. And special teams. I do think special teams will be a big factor on Wednesday.
Yeah, the Winthrop game, I think there was something like 35 or 40 minutes in penalties between the two teams. But, you know, that was a physical game. And considering the size of Winthrop and so on, your boys did pretty good.
Huge.
Yeah, yeah. All right, Coach, I hope a lot of people show up on Wednesday night. And anything else you want to mention before I see you over there on Wednesday?
Well, I always like that. I think we should encourage people to come to the game. It's a great public high school hockey game. And I think it'll be a one-goal, very exciting game. Really looking forward to it.
Thank you, Derek. I appreciate it. We'll see you Wednesday. Good luck.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Coach.
That is Gloucester High School hockey coach Derek Geary. And next up we'll be talking with Marblehead High School hockey coach Chris Wells, who's had to make some adjustments as well without Will Schell. And I think he's close to coming back, but it's one of those questions I don't like to ask, Coach, because you don't like to give away secrets. You know what I'm saying? So I would just say, let's hope he's back on the ice on Wednesday.
What was the line of questioning with Coach here? You nearly had him giving away all the secrets to his success of late.
Because everybody who was at the rink saw that, and plus it was in the paper. I didn't, so, you know, and, you know, it's, I think.
I mean, you nearly choked on him when he started to.
I think there are some games and some sports where you can game plan, I guess, in high school. But I'm not sure. I mean, there are certain tendencies, I suppose, you can work on.
When you were in the army, were you part of their interrogation unit? I mean, he was just all of a sudden just offering it right up, you know, when somehow you just managed to slide that kind of easy question at him. And
let's see if I can get Coach Wells to do the same thing then, right?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. I'll ask him. All righty then. Okay, we'll be right back.
This season, start with a winning mortgage rate from your hometown team. Whether you are thinking about buying a new home or condo or refinancing your existing one, our loan rates are among the lowest anywhere. Check out our full menu of rates and terms and apply online 24/7 at institutionforsavingsloans.com. Institutionforsavings.com, member FDIC, DIF, equal housing lender.
All right, Chris Wells is with us now. He's the Marblehead hockey coach, and he didn't hear any of the giveaways that I made Coach Geary mention just a few minutes ago. How you doing, Coach?
Great, guys. How you guys doing?
Good.
We're doing very well, and, you know, I totally forgot about the bean pot. I watched the preview last night, and then Steve Krause always goes to it. I think he's a Northeastern alum.
Yes,
so do you have a dog in the fight in the bean pot?
No, I mean, I kind of stumbled upon it. I forgot myself, and I was flipping through the stations. And I was like, oh, you know, hockey starts at 5 o'clock tonight, so, you know,
yeah,
I'll put it on for a little while. So it's been a pretty good game.
Yeah, I've never been. I'd like to go there at some point. Coach, I know yesterday was an out-of-league game, a Sunday game, a rare game, a tough game for you guys. You were predicting that, I think, last week. But we got to circle around, get back into the league now. Just talking with Coach Geary, back in the beginning of the season when you guys were you beat Gloucester twice. You were going unbeaten there for quite a while. Gloucester, on the other hand, I think they were at 1.03-2 or something like that. And at that point, looking at down the road here to this game, this time of the season, I never would have predicted that this game would mean so much. But Gloucester's in a streak. You guys keep winning. This is a huge game on Wednesday night.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I mean, I said to the guys, I said, I thought our schedule like a little soft at the beginning of the season. You know, we caught a few teams maybe at a tough time, but it kind of swung back around, you know, as every season does. We're kind of fighting things right now, and Gloucester's on a roll. I think they've won like 9 out of the last 10, only loss being to us, I believe, a couple weeks ago. So,
right.
I mean, they're hot right now. It's going to be a tough game. You know, yesterday, pretty disappointing. We came off a great week of practice and we kind of just came out flat, pretty much flat the whole game. So I don't know, we had a good day of practice today, so hopefully we can figure it out game time. We got one more practice tomorrow. Hopefully we have a good night day tomorrow morning, and we'll see how it goes on Wednesday.
Chris, every year, you know, you have a different group of kids with different skills, and you have a system, you and your coaches have a system that you want to install and instill in them, and you do for the most part. But on the other hand, you also have to make adjustments in terms of the kids' abilities. If your kids are playing the way you want them to, and they're playing, I don't know if there is such a thing as a perfect game, but what are some of the things, Coach, that you coach them to do in order to win that is a coachable thing? In other words, everybody knows how to skate, everybody knows how to shoot, but what is it that a Marblehead team has to do for you to say, okay, this game gets an A+?
You know, I mean, it comes down to kind of the old saying is, like, everyone kind of has a role and does their job. Like, I don't have, it's not like I've got 20 goal scorers on my team and, you know, everything. I've got, you know, guys that put the puck in the net, the guys that are going to go dig the puck out of the corner and feed it to them. I've got my defensemen who need to make the simple plays and the breakout, tape passes, get it out. It's about everybody playing their role. That's kind of our thing. It's like, and we get out of that when all of a sudden we're struggling a little bit and then some players think, like, you know, we're going to be individual or we're going to try to do too much. And it really spirals from there. So, I mean, we just have to stay focused on what each individual player, their role is, and I think that's when we come together the best as a team.
I want you to mention, you know, we've talked in the past about some of your kids, and I told you one of the kids that really impressed me in a game we saw a couple of weeks ago was Eli Feingold with his skating ability and his speed. But, you know, the big man for you on offense is Zach Pearsall. We know about Jack Costanzo for Gloucester. You know, everybody who has listened to us knows that we've mentioned that he's fast. He knows where everybody is on the ice. Former coach Jackson, you know, mentions that he's got great hockey sense. Tell us about Zach Pearsall, and he's a big guy. I know that, with big strides.
I mean, Zach is, like, he's a pretty complete package as far as a hockey player. He's fast, he's strong. I think he's gotten a lot stronger this year compared to last year. He plays physical. He's actually got very good hockey sense. And, we use him. We've been using him in this stretch, like, a lot. He's been seeing a ton of ice time, probably too much at times. But, you know, the way he goes and the way his motor runs, we got to keep him out there. So he's going to see plenty of ice time on Wednesday night. I know that.
You know, that's one thing Coach Geary readily admitted early in the season, is that many times he'll just shorten up the bench and he wants his top players out there for, you know, two or three shifts and even inserting them into other lines. I don't know that Marblehead ever does that, but there might be an occasion wherein someone like Sheridan might get a double shift. I mean, not Locke Sheridan, but someone like Pearsall might get a double shift.
Yeah, I mean, we don't like to just run two lines the whole game just because of, towards the third period, you decide to see the wear. We'd like to, we like to have that third line to get in there once in a while and give us a shift to kind of give those top two lines a break. But if it's coming down to crunch time, I'm going two lines and I'm going to ride them until they die. So
okay.
That's just the way it
Well, that's a familiar refrain in high school hockey. That's I've heard that for a long time, and you got to do what you got to do. There you go.
Yeah, and you ride your horses in the end.
That's it. Well, yeah. Coach Paul Ingram always says if you got a can, you got a cannon, you better fire it. So I get that. The other thing is with a group that's been together for a while. How important is communication, Coach? Because, you know, obviously you're still teaching during a game, but not so much. The teaching comes at practice. But how much is communication among your leaders with the other kids and so on?
Man, I think it's big just in the aspect of for the younger kids to kind of see what, you know, how to game prep, how to prepare for anything during the season. We got a good group of role models, leaders, you know, so that, you know, how we should do things, we should act. And, you know, I really give the guys, like, I really, like, trust my role models, my upperclassmen. I give them kind of like, you know what, that's your thing. I'm not going to micromanage you guys. You guys know what to do. Show the young kids what to do. And, you know, it just, that keeps things moving in the program.
Is that something that you brought with you as a player, working under former coaches, that, you know, you know that you needed a little autonomy from time to time?
Yeah, I mean, you just, you know, like, again, like, you know, growing up, it was like, you know, the coaches wanted leaders, and they didn't want to, like, you know, have to babysit, pretty much. Like, you know, I want to coach hockey. I don't want to, like, you know, I shouldn't be having to manage the guys every second of their life. They know what needs to get done, you know, and you've got good leaders. They teach the young guys what needs to get done, you know, as far as school, practice, game preparation, whether it's just, you know, off ice, workouts, all that stuff. You know, I let them do their thing, and hopefully, you know, it works out. So, and I got a great group of leaders this year, so it'll work out.
Final question for me, Chris, in terms of Wednesday night's game, is there a key, is there a particular focus in order for you guys to win this game, or is it Marblehead, just go out and play your game?
We've got to come out firing from the get-go. The slow starts have killed us. It's catching up to us. We need to get out to a fast start. This team's hot, and if we get off to a slow start, we're just going to get handed to us like we got it handed to us yesterday. So we'll see. You know, I told the guys that we got to figure it out here eventually, because, you know what, before you know it, playoffs are here.
You
and,
got it.
We're going to be one and done. So,
Chris, I appreciate it. As always, thank you so much for the time. I'm really looking forward to this game. It's going to be great fun for spectators, and good luck on Wednesday night. I'll see you then.
All right, thanks, guys. Great talking to you.
Thank you, Coach.
Thanks, Coach.
That is Coach Chris Wells of Marblehead High School. Game time is at 6 p.m. on Wednesday evening, Marblehead at Gloucester. And I just never would have thought that this was going to be, in effect, it could be a championship game. Marblehead has a few games left in the conference. I think Gloucester has a couple. But it's huge.
Yeah, and it's good to see, both with the Gloucester connection. Certainly you want to see it. Hopefully it'll be hyped enough in the school building that there'll be a good turnout among the students.
Student body has been very represented at the home games.
That's good. I think the kids on this year's team especially are very popular with their classmates. And
and you know Marblehead, they always bring a contingent.
Yeah, we'll see the people in white.
Yeah,
I'm sure.
That's right.
You know, on the in the corner of the at the tank this year, the quality of the ice itself.
It was a little soft, I think, the other night. I'm not sure. Coach Jackson mentioned something or other on why the puck kept getting stopped even after the new sheet was on. I don't remember, but it looks hard to me.
Yeah,
it looks hard.
Well, ice usually is.
And cold.
That usually another key factor of ice.
All right, you got your golf shoes on?
No, my bag. It's practically like, you know. I'm not even going to talk about golf.
Well, you got to. Gary Larrabee's up next.
I know. No, as far as my golf, no.
Okay. All right, Gary Larrabee will be next. After that, we're going to talk with Hamilton Wenham standout football player and, through the three-sport athlete, Ian Coffey, in just a little while as well. This is North Shore Sports Night. I'm Rick Moore, along with Tim Kearns, our producer and engineer, Bill Proposky, and, of course, Bill Newell engineering everything back in headquarters. We'll be right back.
Sylvan Street, a great place to eat and drink and meet with family and friends at Sylvan Street. We'll treat you right, day or night, satisfy your appetite. Eat, drink, and chill at the Sylvan Street Grill.
Catch Catch a game with friends, meet for lunch, cocktails after work, or a romantic dinner for two. Whatever your plan, plan to do it at Sylvan Street Grill in Peabody and Salisbury. See you at Sylvan Street.
Eat, drink, and chill at the Sylvan Street Grill.
Looking to score big on your savings this season? Open a CD savings or money market account at Institution for Savings. This is the perfect time to earn funds for your future, and our rates are among the best. Stop by one of our offices in Amesbury, Beverly, Boxford, Gloucester, Hamilton, Ipswich, Middleton, Newburyport, Rockport, Rowley, Salem, Salisbury, and Topsfield. Or visit us online at institutionforsavings.com. Member FDIC, DIF. North Shore Today is MSO News Sports Daily Local News Podcast with news from all around the North Shore. The Post also shares a note on the weather, local photos, notices, and our video of the day. Check it out daily, North Shore Today.
All right, Gary Larrabee is with us now, sports historian, golf writer, and welcome back, Gary.
Well, so glad to be back with you guys.
Yes, you are. We're so glad. Actually, Tim's here tonight, too, which really helps me, so I can't screw up all the buttons. All right, so where
yes,
do...
Yes, he can, Gary.
No, I can. No. Well, I can. That's true. All right, Gary, where do we start tonight?
Let's talk about the tours that played golf over the weekend in Tucson and... in Saudi Arabia, and the seniors played in Morocco. I mean, they're playing all over the world these days, guys. Any place but the Northeast, that's for sure.
Morocco?
Which, you know, is just a hop, skip, and a jump from...
yeah, from Paris, maybe.
I think from Portugal or Spain, that southernmost coastal country in Europe, because Morocco's on... the northern tip of Africa, which is just a boat ride, I guess, across from Europe to Africa.
Yeah, a quick jaunt across the Strait of Gibraltar.
Exactly, and the great news there is that New Englander Brett Quigley, just getting started at the age of 50 on the Senior Tour, the Champions Tour, won his very first Champions event. I think it's the second one he's played in. Beating Stephen Ames by a shot and Doug Barron and Scott Parel by two and Woody Austin, Jose Maria Olazabal and Bernard Langer by six. But a great debut by Rhode Island's Brett Quigley, who you guys know is the what of Dana Quigley.
Let's see. He's not...
Nephew.
No, it's not his kid. It's a cousin, isn't it?
Nephew. No, Devin. Devin had that terrible car accident many years ago. But no, this is actually Paul's son, and Paul is Dana's brother. Paul's a noted amateur player.
So I was right. It's his cousin.
From Rhode Island, yes. So it's just great news. Brett's been basically out of the loop for several years. Has not played well. In the last few years, he played on the regular tour, but now he's on the senior tour, and he has broken through rather quickly, and we're all happy here in New England. If we know the Quigley family, like I've had the good fortune to know a little bit, Brett's a great guy, and we're thrilled that he's broken through, and hopefully this is the beginning of another Quigley reign on the Champions Tour.
You know, Gary, just a question about mindset. Do guys relax a little bit once in terms of, I'm not sure how to put it, but are they more relaxed on the senior tour? You know, you watch those tournaments when they're on TV, and they're laughing, they're joking, they're talking with the guys they're paired with. You watch the regular tour, those guys are miles apart. They may as well be on separate courses because they don't have any interaction at all throughout almost the entire tournament. And yet you watch the senior tournament, and these guys are kicking back. They're having a good time. You know, it's serious golf. It's really competitive. But they just seem to take it with a different attitude.
Well, maybe until it gets to be the third or fourth final round, Tim, I think it gets very serious at that stage, and you know, they're playing for still for a lot of money, and they're playing for a future. And I think it may not be granted. They're not playing for $1.5 million winner's purse like Webb Simpson won yesterday in Tucson, or should they say Phoenix? But it's still serious stuff, and when it gets down to the nitty-gritty of the last 9 holes, and they're playing for a championship and for $300,000 or $400,000, I'm convinced it's just as serious in nature as it is on the regular tour.
Now, do they have to play in to be on that tour?
Yeah, I'm not sure how Brett qualified, quite frankly, because he hasn't had a very good last few years on the regular tour. You know, most of these guys disappear from the age of 45, 46, or 47 until they turn 50. I'm not 100% sure how Brett got there, but most importantly, he's there, and he's in a very comfortable position after winning. How much did he win last week? He won $300,000.
Yeah, chump change.
$320,000. So that's New England Golf's contribution to the PGA Tour report for this weekend. But obviously, it was good to see what happened. I think in Phoenix that Webb Simpson, who's a former U.S. Open champion, where did he win his U.S. Open, guys?
Crickets.
No.
Anybody? Bueller?
Oh, that's cruel, man. That is really cruel.
He won it at Olympic in San Francisco, I can't tell you, 6 years ago, 7 years
ago. Bueller.
You know, he's one of those guys we were wondering if he was going to be one of those one-and-done guys and disappear off the face of the earth like some of these other guys have, like Todd Hamilton, who won a British Open, and a few others. But in fact, he had some medical issues for a couple of years, so he had a reason not to be showing up in the top 10, but he's now won. He won last year, he won this weekend. He's emerged or re-emerged as one of the top players on the tour, and we'll see where he takes it from here. But he had, you know, he blew a little bit of a lead yesterday, and ended up in a playoff with Tony Finau, who's that handsome guy who likes to wear all white. I think he likes to wear all white on Sunday. And they had the playoff, and Webb Simpson won. He won a nice, cool $1.3 million. So it was a good weekend for Webb Simpson. And we'll see where the tour goes this week in Pebble Beach, but Webb Simpson's a good guy, and we're happy he won yesterday.
Good, good. You relayed to us some sad news regarding the Kirby family.
Yes, Ron Kirby, Beverly native, who is known in golf circles for having designed the layout, which became Old Head over in Kinsale, Ireland. Ron and his wife Sally, both from Beverly, Sally Williams, she was when she was growing up in Beverly. You know, they've been together for, God, almost 70 years, 65 years, and they're both in their 80s. They've been living in Palm Beach Gardens, I should say, with a little house over in Ireland, because Ron's done an awful lot of work on courses in Ireland over the last 15, 20 years. Sally passed away Friday night. In Florida, after a long struggle with illness, and so we mourn her passing, because she was to Ron Kirby, guys, what Barbara Nicholas is to Jack, and what Vivian Player has been to Gary Player. You know, other couples who have been married for over 50 years, and I mention those two other couples not just because they're Jack Nicholas and Gary Player, but because the Players and the Nicholas's and the Kirby's were like a social sixum, if you will.
Oh, wow.
And they've all been good friends over the years. So Ron's worked. Ron, in fact, like Gary Player's course design business up and running back in the 70s. They became a team, and the team was called not Player Kirby and Associates, but Kirby Player and Associates. And since that time, you know, Ron worked with Gary for about 10 years. Gary learned the business. I think since that time he's laid out over 100 courses around the world, and Ron, of course, has moved on to having so many successes. He's been involved with over 100 courses as well. In the last 10, 15 years, Ron's done some under-the-radar work with Jack Nicklaus and his golf design company, especially over in Europe, in England, particularly at London Golf Club. And so they've been, I'm sure the Nicklauses and the players will be well represented at Sally's wake and funeral. I have not received any information yet on those details, but I'm sure they'll be held in Florida. And we obviously send our sincerest condolences to Ron, who's been just a vital, you know, incredibly prominent member of the golf course architect community around the world, and he's made us all here on the North Shore very proud. And Sally's been a very important part and played a very important role in all the traveling and everything else, and have a wonderful family, and Sally will be terribly missed.
All right, Gary, from the I don't know, Ben, on your list, the weather lately has been up and down. It's been warm some days, it's been cold some days, but we haven't seen a whole lot of snow. Are we going to expect an early start to the golf season this year here in the local area?
Well, we'd sure like to think so. And of course, if the weather should continue this way, and there's no major storms involved, we're still going to get some rain, I guess, over the next several days in some form or fashion. But rain unless we get an incredible amount, they're talking about maybe an inch or inch and a half the next few days, but the fact that there's no freezing going on, the temperatures are mild, there's no snow cover, gives every indication there could be an extraordinary early start. But of course, you know, February, March have been notorious for bringing snow to our region in recent years, but you never know. This could be the first time ever, guys. I mean, we're looking at a good situation. And we could really be out there early, but we'll have to see how it goes the next, you know, six to 8 weeks to really know best if we might get out there in a normal start to the season in mid-March rather than mid-April.
With the lack of snow that we've had this year, we haven't had a whole lot of big storms. How will the local golf courses, the fairways and the tees, have held up?
Well, the turf is doing fine, and you know, it's all about temperature and about extreme changes in the temperature. But having talked just the other day with John Wilbur, who's the golf course superintendent at Myopia, the way things are going, the turf is holding up very well everywhere at his golf course. There's actually still the fairways look green. If you drive by Essex County Club, which I did today in Manchester, the fairways are actually green, and it means that the grass has had a very good winter. The grass has not had to go 100% dormant, which would mean the grass would go from green to brown. And it's just, you know, the weather's been so bizarre over the years, last 5 to 10 years around here. Climate change, global warming, whatever you want to call it, this may be the first example of a extraordinarily early start to the season, but we never know with February and March, guys.
All right, you guys are depressing me. I've had one ski day so far, so enough of that green grass talk. Gary, we'll do it again next Monday.
I look forward to it, guys. Thanks for your time.
Thank you so much for your help. Thanks, Gary.
Thank you, Gary.
Great information. Thanks. Great information. And I like the fact when he shared about the wives, because you know, and I know, we know, all of us involved in sports at this level, certainly at my advanced age, we can't do this stuff without support of family, because we're still doing it, still following sports. Here I am on a Monday night, you know, in the studio, and it's like, you know what I'm talking about. We spend a lot of time out in the fields, on the fields, in the courts, in the ice rinks, and we still do it, and it's, you know, we certainly don't do it at the level that Gary was talking about, but the fact that we have to have support, or it don't work.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. They got to be willing to go, okay, get out of the house.
that's more like it, yeah. Good, get the hell. All right.
How long are you going to be? Are you sure you can't make it longer?
Yeah, really. You know? All right, Ian Coffey will be next. Good Lord, willing, the creek don't rise. He's Hamilton Wenham Senior, playing basketball right now, but certainly very well awarded and got the nod for being one of the top 25 football players in the state by the Massachusetts Football Coaches Association. So we'll talk with Ian about that accolade and other stuff going on at Hamilton Wenham in just a minute.
I'm Bob Gillis, president of Cape Ann Savings Bank, serving the Cape Ann community with stability and commitment for over 170 years. Since 1846, our customers have relied on our local bank service and big bank benefits. Stop by our offices or call to talk about your banking needs at 978-283-0246. Built on community, capeannsavings.bank.
Member FDIC. Member DIF, Equal Housing Lender.
Gloucester's Walter Wilkins Insurance Agency is teaming up with Columbia Insurance to deliver a full line of products, personal home and auto policies, as well as a full line of commercial coverage for business owners, including commercial property and commercial vehicle coverage. Wilkins partners with respected companies such as Plymouth Rock, Quincy Mutual, Commerce, and Safeco. For City of Gloucester employees, there are discounts on auto and home policies. Wilkins Insurance is located at 186 Main Street, Gloucester, now partnering with Columbia Insurance, serving the North Shore. This season, start with a winning mortgage rate from your hometown team. Whether you are thinking about buying a new home or condo or refinancing your existing one, our loan rates are among the lowest anywhere. Check out our full menu of rates and terms and apply online 24/7 at institutionforsavingsloans.com. Institutionforsavings.com, member FDIC, DIF, Equal Housing Lender.
All right, we're back now on North Shore Sports Night on this Monday night. I'm Rick Moore along with Tim Kearns and talking now with Hamilton Wenham High School senior Ian Coffey. And Ian, first of all, welcome to MSO and congratulations on being named one of the top 25 football players in the state.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
You know, I remember talking with you back sophomore year, and you at that time, I think, were basically a running back, and you got a lot of playing time then, and your team has been very successful for the last several years. What's it like now going from then, being a freshman at that point, or a sophomore at that point, Ian, but looking down the road and thinking, man, I can't wait to be a senior, be a captain, and do all the good stuff, and you've done it. Give me an idea of how that's gone for you in terms of your growth as a football player and your growth as a leader on the team.
So definitely it's a big change playing as a sophomore, playing as a senior. As a sophomore, you're kind of playing for your seniors. You want to make them proud.
Mm-hmm.
You want to be successful for them. And then as a senior, you want to be successful so that the younger kids in the team can look up to you. So it's kind of like a role reversal. You're playing for the team, but for different reasons.
Okay, so what happens your junior year when you're in between the sophomore and the senior situation?
You're a little bit of both.
That's the answer.
Good answer.
you know, Ian, coach has given you more and more responsibility as the years have gone by. And this year, it must have been a pretty heavy load for you, leading the team both on offense and defense. And, you know, you can do it. You can run, you can throw, you can catch, you can play the defense. But you've had some help, have you not? You've had some pretty good teammates that I'm hoping you'll mention.
Yeah, I mean, obviously Ryan Monahan, he was one of my main targets. Coley Calla, another one. Tristan McCarthy, and then obviously I can't forget my line. Finn, Brophy, Lewis Preston, Max Flack, Chance Augustine, Ethan Monahan. I wouldn't be able to do what I do without them. They make my job easy. So
Does running the
There's
offense...
one down there and throwing.
Does running the offense help you be a defensive back because you can sort of figure out what's going on before it happens?
Yeah, it definitely does. Like, one of my buddies is a good catcher, and he's always saying that as a catcher, it helps him batting because he knows situationally what's going to happen. And it's the same for football. Like, as a quarterback, I know what I would do in that situation, so I it's easy to help figure out what they are most likely to do to help my team get in the right position.
You guys, now you're playing basketball. You guys, Bill was telling me you've won like 8 in a row. Is that right?
Yeah, yep.
So tell me about how the basketball season's going. Where do you play on the court? What position?
Right now I'm playing point guard, and for the most part, it's a lot like football for me because I'm able to see the court, be a field general, or court general in this case, and just help the team get where they need to be. I may not be the most. I want my teammates to succeed in the right spot, settling everyone down, and just kind of being a leader on the court, not really a scorer, but making sure the younger guys know what they're doing.
Yeah, I like the use of the word quarterback in basketball in general. You know, those are two words that go together pretty good with you. And you got baseball coming up in the spring. Where do you play? What position do you play there?
Baseball, outfield. So.
Okay.
You're
breaking up a little bit here. Well, Ian, tell me a little bit about school now. How are your academics going? And what? What's on the horizon for you this summer and then into the fall?
Well, academically, I do pretty well. I work hard to make sure that my grades are good and that I'm always up to date on what's going on. And then for the summer, I plan to lift a lot and get ready for hopefully a good college season wherever it takes me.
Have you narrowed down some school choices at this point?
Right now, I think Trinity is my number one, so if that works out, that'd be ideal for me.
Beautiful campus down there.
It is very nice. I love it.
Ian, finally, tell me about your senior year highlights for you in terms of what you're still looking forward to. I mean, you've had a spectacular fall. I know that you guys didn't have the win-loss record that you wanted, but you sure played some damn good football. You guys are playing great basketball, you know, and your sport's getting together. But tell me what you got to look forward to now, because you're going to blink, man, and June's going to be here.
I know. As of right now, we're playing for a playoff berth in basketball. We need one more win to get us into the tournament. So right now, that's all that's on our mind. And right now, we're also in contention for a league title. So we just got to keep winning and take it one game at a time.
I love it, man. You got your eyes on the prize. That's so cool. Ian, it's been a pleasure talking with you, man. Thank you for your time, and I enjoyed meeting you. And good luck the rest of the way.
Thank you for talking. I appreciate it.
All right, take care. Good luck, man. Ian Coffey,
who is a
three-sport athlete at Hamilton Wenham High School, captain of the football team. I'm guessing he's probably captain of the basketball and baseball teams, too, because that, you know, kind of the kid is lightning fast, wicked strong, and a nice guy.
Yeah, once again, the kids represent themselves and their school so well. Their ability to take questions off the cuff and not stumble over them and put together some cogent answers in a very quick fashion speaks very highly to their, you know, the academic success that they achieve.
And it's funny, I've been doing this for so long, and I get nervous and tongue-tied. I don't know what to ask sometimes, and I do. We get preparation. One thing that obviously has helped. I was going to ask Gary Larrabee too, how he gets his information, because obviously it's changed so much over the years in terms of research. But really, Google, man. When Google became a noun, that's pretty cool. Actually, it's a verb. You Google it, but you do get your stuff that way. But talking with kids, there's so much stuff that they have in front of them, and there are so many obstacles that they have to take care of each day that I do tend to stumble sometimes in asking questions, and they bail me out. So it's they got it together.
I don't stumble.
You don't?
No.
What position did you play? First base?
First base.
Well, you can't make any errors over there.
You save the errors. Are you kidding me?
Oh, come on. Come on.
Come on. How many kicks and digging the ball out of the dirt I had to do.
Yeah, okay.
Franny Gill used to tell us, the number one job at first base, stop the ball. We'll take you to the hospital later.
There you go. Yeah, if you ain't bleeding, don't worry about
exactly.
it.
Exactly. Rub some dirt on. I still tell kids.
Well,
rub some dirt on.
The thing that used to kill me was when people would, they'd say, well, put your weakest kid in right field. Like, What?
I know. The longest throw was your weakest time out there.
Yeah, okay, yeah. Let's do that. Like, hello. Yeah. Oh, man. Okay, Coach, we got a few minutes left. The good news is, okay, I'm not going anywhere. I'm going to stick with that. The Bruins, they're up and down, but they're more up than down. And they're getting healthy, methinks. Pastrnak is still on schedule for a great season. The Celtics, man, they had a little bit of a dip. It's, you know, maybe the mid-season doldrums, perhaps. But they got players out, key players injured, and they still keep winning. And they demolished Philadelphia over the weekend.
God, it looks so easy.
I know.
I saw an interesting stat, was it last night, that as of January 30th, Brown and Tatum have the exact same number of points.
And Tatum makes the All-Star team and Brown doesn't.
Yeah.
Yeah, hello.
And it's like, huh?
How'd that work?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But, they're both, yeah, and the best move, again, that Danny has made was not
making a move.
Getting rid of one of those two guys.
Oh, yeah.
They are so dynamic. And I didn't realize that Tatum is 6'9". He is tall.
Tatum,
I wonder where his length comes from. My God. But he doesn't look.
He's quick. He's very quick for a guy.
Oh, my God. That first test just leaves people in the dust.
But on defense, too, he's very quick and shifty. Yeah. And Jaylen Brown. You know, and
they're getting contributions from the bench. You know, Wanamaker. I mean, who the heck is this guy? He comes in and he just flies up and down the court. He can hit the three. He takes the pressure.
Wow.
Cantor has been revived. I think he saw
better than Horford.
I loved Horford.
He's
better than Horford in the sense that he knows what his job is. His job is stay down low, get rebounds, and give it to guys who can
and
shoot.
And he's averaging a double-double. He plays D.
Yeah. Well, he's getting all his points inside, which is what you want from a guy who's at least 7 feet tall. You know, and he's banging the boards. He's getting the rebounds. But again, that's what you got him for. Here's your job. Get the boards and put the ball back in the hoop when you have the opportunity.
Remember when everybody was saying, oh, you have to have three superstars. You have to have three. So you got to go out and buy three superstars. Well, they've got four now, so... How'd that work?
You know, and if you name the top 10 players, and go to another city and say, name the top 10 players, they're not going to name probably any of the Celtics, you know? But you've got Hayward, you've got Walker, you've got Brown, and you've got Tatum. And they're all young. The Walker and Hayward have had success with other teams, so they come in as established veterans. And then you got the two kids who are just getting better and better.
And because, Marcus Smart is no slouch either.
No, he's not. And you've got a coach that says, I believe in you guys. Go play. Mm-hmm.
And that was missing last year.
Oh, yeah.
He was hamstrung. Well,
he had the cancer.
But you got to blame administration, too. You got to blame management along with labor on that one. But anyway, it's working right this year. And the other thing is old-fashioned Celtic basketball, movement without the ball, and move the ball. I love it.
Run every chance you get.
Oh, man, it's awesome. All right, Coach, that'll do it for now. I want to thank our guests here. Both hockey coaches coming up on our Wednesday night game. It's Marblehead at Gloucester. So thanks to Marblehead coach Chris Wells for stopping by, to Derek Geary by the phone, via the phone. Thank you both. Gary Larrabee, of course, a stalwart here and a staple on our North Shore Sports Night programs. And it's nice having him throughout the winter, too. I'm glad he's doing that for us. And also to Ian Coffey, who is one of the top 25 football players in the state of Massachusetts in high school football, as recognized by the Massachusetts High School Football Coaches Association. He was recognized for his defensive play, but also the quarterback on the team and also playing basketball and baseball. That's it. We'll see you next week.
Good night, Rick.
Say good night, Rick. Oh, you just did. Good night, Coach. All right, good night to everyone. Thank you very much for being with us. Spread the word. msonewsports@gmail.com is how you get a hold of us. So let us know what you're thinking. On behalf of Tim Kearns, our producer and engineer, Bill Proposky, for Bill Newell, I'm Rick Moore. This is msonewsports.com.